Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Right to the Source. My name is Robin Harrison, and I'm here, as ever, with the bebop to my rock steady, Mr. Ed Birkin. Ed, how are you today?
I am all good, thank you. I think you've done that one. Have you not talked about the Turtles before?
I haven't done a bebop from Rocksteady before.
Rocksteady. Let's see which one Rocksteady is. Is Rocksteady the Rhino?
Yes.
Okay. I would probably put you more as maybe Donatello.
Why Donatello?
Raphael was a kind of cool one, so you're not him.
Everyone wanted to be Raphael.
No, I didn't want to be Raphael. My brother wanted to be Raphael.
Well, who did you want to be?
I think maybe Leonardo.
Really? What, the official's bossy one?
No. Well, I like blue, actually. Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, like, any of them would be pretty cool, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, well...
Let's start. Yes, welcome. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be back.
I feel that the more obscure that these get, the more it throws you off at the start of the episode.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't obscure because I actually knew who they were.
But it still threw you off.
Well,
not as much as Googling the Olsen twins' trousers, but...
Yeah, that
it
was...
sounds really bad when I put it like that, doesn't it?
It does, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, let's make this snappy. Let's talk about gambling. What nuggets of journalistic gold could I find if I panned through the IGB website?
Wow, you really tortured that metaphor.
I did.
Well, I mean, there's a lot out there. At the moment, two of the things that really kind of jump out is quite interesting that tie into things we've been talking about these recent weeks. So one of them is obviously the suspensions by the Turkish Football Federation. I think in total, 1,024 players have been suspended for illegal gambling activity. You know, one of the most high-profile players was a Galatasaray player, and he's come out and said it was a bet that he made 5 years ago, hasn't done anything since. So we're getting an idea of the time scale that they're monitoring and looking for this historic activity. And this obviously followed a load of referee suspensions because they were found to have betting accounts. And I think it's quite interesting to bring that up in the wake of the gambling-related arrests. Not all betting-related, as we hasten to add, in the US, but I think just the scale is quite remarkable of this investigation. Like, this is obviously coming as part of an emerging crackdown from Turkey on legal gambling. Turkey is obviously spoken in slightly hushed terms in the industry at the moment, I think, after the case involving GVC. So I thought that was quite interesting.
But it's not, I mean, if people really looked at it properly and looked at the nuances and kind of said, well, look, it happens in countries where it's illegal gaming and legal betting therefore isn't the cause of these integrity issues. But no one's going to do that. It's just more bad press, whether it's illegal gambling, legal gambling.
But in this case, it is specifically, for what we know, illegal gambling. Because
yeah, which
they haven't said it's, you know, it's from, is it Mille Piango, the kind of the sportsbook monopoly?
Yeah, but you should kind of be able to go, look, this is pointer and go, look, this is what happens when you don't regulate it and have all the people making alerts, etc. And a regulated market actually offers better protection, but it won't be. It'll just be used as another example of betting is bad, therefore we shouldn't regulate betting, despite the fact that not regulating betting has led to this issue.
But I would say that argument that regulation brings it into the light, whether it's true or not, and you know, I agree that that's what should be the takeaway from this, that's not landing.
No.
And
communications,
so
it, problem. Again. Well, actually, in fairness, people don't want to hear it. You know, if you're anti-gambling, anti-gambling, yeah. It doesn't matter.
I think this is it. I mean, like, we mentioned it before, but it really comes down to gambling as an emotive issue. And I think that makes that argument very hard to cut through.
Yes. Can I tell you my story of the week?
Okay.
Wow, yeah. Please do, Ed. You've got some really interesting stuff. I'd love to hear it. Thanks, Robin. It's not even about the Jaguars. It is on gambling. It is that FanDuel and DraftKings are deciding to give up their Nevada license so they can enter predictions markets or be involved with predictions.
And have you read Scott Longley's compliance and more today? You will have seen they've also pulled out the AGA.
Have they? No, I haven't read that. But, right, so here is my, and I was going to save this until we got one of the predictions attorneys on and to kind of actually knows what they're talking about. And the viewer knows in Vegas, this is going to take a long, long time to kind of sort out, and it's going to go through to different district courts and then go further and further up in rulings. I am going to throw it out there now, even though Donald Trump Jr. is on the board, an investor and all of that, these prediction markets, they've got $10 to $15 billion valuations. Looks like DraftKings, FanDuel are going there. I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to get clamped down on and their valuations be worth next to zero. I think DraftKings and FanDuel are going to look pretty bad out of this. They're going to get threatened to lose their licenses in a lot more states. Personally, if I were the gambling regulator there, I would get them all clubbed together to follow what Nevada are doing and just force anyone doing anything with it just completely out of it. Nip it in the bud. I mean, it's not really in the bud, but yeah, I don't think this will be successful. I think this will be a flash in the pan and a lot of people are going to get their fingers burnt and look not great.
Wow, that's a bold prediction. I mean, I think one of the interesting things, I think it was on the Flutter call the other week, Peter Jackson essentially said he doesn't see predictions performing well in states with legal sports betting. So that would almost kind of lend itself to what you're saying. Essentially, it has a short-term life. It's purely targeted at markets where sports betting is not regulated. You know, I mean, that's kind of the quiet part of the loud part that he said.
So, but if like, I mean, you could say, why would they do that? But apart from the fact of just kind of what's right and solidarity of, you know, states' rights, you know, if New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, or the regulators got together and said, if you offer sports predictions in markets where it's not explicitly legal, which is California, Florida, etc., then you'll have your license revoked here. Effectively, like Nevada's done. I think they would have to change their view pretty quickly.
Be interesting whether that happens, though, because you think about, and I know we've kind of said before that maybe the tax from sports betting isn't quite what people said it was going to be, and that really that tax will come when iCasino is regulated. However, a lot of these states are still making quite a lot of tax money from these companies.
Yeah, they are. But I mean, I don't know what the owners of these businesses are going to do. You know, what, to kind of have some prediction markets in Florida and California, which could get shut down at some point in the future anyway. You're really going to jeopardize being in the biggest legalized sports market, which is the only thing that's made your company. Like, no, they'd be idiotic.
I think that's fair.
So it's just a case of just doing what Nevada's done and just going, right, we don't agree with it. And also, look, these regulators don't want prediction yet. New York does not want predictions markets. Like, surely it doesn't want FanDuel offering prediction markets in New York where they're not paying 51% tax. Instead, they're just paying no tax. So then they could go, well, as long as they don't do it in our market, then it's fine. It's like, well,
I mean, there's kind of an irony is after so long fighting for a state by state regulation, this almost feels like they're saying, yeah, we're open to federal.
And just open to shortcuts that clearly go against what the law is, maybe not the letter of the law potentially, and that's what they're talking about, exact wording, but goes against everything that they know. Like, they all know. The only reason PASPA got overturned is because betting, gambling is a state's rights issue. So now they're saying this isn't gambling, like, effectively. That's the kind of argument. It's a contract, an event. It's just, if you take away, like, the wording, and I know this isn't how law cases work, but, like, all the minutiae of what they're talking about and what they're arguing about, which is what's going to take a long time. And this is why I feel quite confidently that this just won't last. Because if you take a step back, at some point, just common sense, I mean, in the world at the moment, sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but common sense rules. And they're not just going to be able to get around all of this with a weak argument, in my view, about it's a contract. I just don't get it. I don't buy it. I actually think the FanDuel DraftKings are making a huge mistake.
I mean, I would say as well, you think about the closest equivalent in the industry, exchange betting, which is largely the same thing.
Just regulated by sports betting. It's a sports betting regulation.
Exactly. So it does feel like there's an element of bad faith to that argument because of that. And because Betfair, for the exchange, it didn't work, but it was licensed in New Jersey.
And so when I say FanDuel and DraftKings make a big mistake, they're probably not, because all that will happen is they will compete and make money while they can. And then if it all collapses, they'll just be like, oh, well, and then nothing will happen. Whereas actually, you know what? You try and get around stuff, there's not enough consequences, in my view. in terms of things happening.
It's quite interesting, this growth treadmill, because essentially...
It's a bit like YOLO, as we go back on before. You just praise them for pivoting into white markets, using all the money they've made by operating in grey markets, semi-legally.
Well, grey markets, but equally, you look at FanDuel once again and DraftKings with daily fantasy sports.
Yeah, but that was legal in the markets they're in, and they pulled out the markets where they weren't allowed to.
Well, yeah, but there was an element of the pushback was starting, and that coincided with sports betting coming along and then being able to pivot. Like,
pivot. They've just made a shitload of money doing stuff where they're not licensed, and according to the local legislation, national legislation, it's illegal to do. Okay. And you're like, oh, we're pivoting and now doing that. And there's no consequences for doing anything bad, for operating without a local license. And you've got people like you actually praising them. Like, there should be consequences when you do things wrong. You, who keep saying, oh, it's great that they're showing this leadership by pivoting into the white market.
Yeah, but that's mainly to annoy you.
Well, it still has annoyed me like a month on after you mentioned it, yes.
And it's very effective. It has worked really well.
Yeah. Well done, you. Yeah. No, I just don't, and I think, you know, if people, you know, like leaving the AGA and, you know, which to be honest, the AGA probably doesn't really do much for them. It is very much land-based. But, you know, Nevada, you know, I think other states should stand together, quite frankly. Another thing on a similar topic that I found interesting this week is, which could dramatically change the landscape in the US, is how Hard Rock are getting around the lack of iCasino regulation by producing a iCasino slot game, but based on historic racing results. And if that kind of gets allowed, then does that open up iCasino effectively slots in every single state? A bit like historical horse racing machines.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And I think that sort of hybrid sports casino game, like a truly hybrid kind of like amalgamation of the two verticals.
It's not hybrid. It's not.
I know.
It's not at all. It's just back-end fudge of the mechanics for what appears to the player to be a slot game.
I know. But a truly hybrid sports casino amalgamation, I don't think there isn't really one out there. I'm not even sure what it would look like, but that sort of...
Yeah, but they're not doing that. They're effectively saying, and it goes around to states.
I know they're not. I'm talking more broadly than that. Stop being so bloody literal.
No, I'm not, but states... I know, but okay, I want to talk literally because this is what this issue could be, usually. So if you have a state like Indiana, yeah, mm-hmm. or New York that says, we do not want iCasino, and then they get around it by doing what Hard Rock are doing, and just having what is effectively a slot game, you know, a bit like you go to Empire City Resorts World in New York and they're technically VLTs, but they look exactly the same. The game's exactly the same as slots. It's just different backend. To everyone else, it'd be exactly the same, look like a slot, just like it does in Pennsylvania, except New York have said, we don't want this. And you're kind of saying, well, again, you're doing a workaround to get around legislation that the states don't want. If the states don't want iGaming, as much as I think it makes sense to have it, then you're not allowed iGaming there. And to do a workaround, like South Africa, etc. Again, you're opening this up. The US has just been this maze of people trying to work around legislation, whether it's DFS, sweepstakes, predictions, now this.
So you see this as on the same track as predictions?
I think it's different. I think predictions is a worse thing because you're trying to completely skirt everything. And if states don't want gambling and it's getting... That goes against tribal sovereignty and all of that. But if a state decides, for whatever reason, they don't want, they're happy with sports but not iGaming, then I think you've got to kind of respect that rather than just kind of trying to do iGaming on a backdoor way by saying, well, it's the results of a previous sports thing. But they can, from my limited understanding, they can change things. So, for instance, you know, can you have event betting based on past sports events results? And I think if you can't do that, then you can't use that for the slots. So they probably could get around it and outlaw it in ways of the specific wording of the regulation. I just thought it was an interesting way, because if suddenly Hard Rock have a monopoly in Florida on sports and de facto iGaming, that's a lot of money. And then Californian tribes suddenly think, hang on, do we regulate sports betting? And then, I suppose they could regulate iGaming now if they really wanted to. I don't know, it opens up more options, doesn't it? But I think people in other states will try it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It is an interesting point, but I think I think the thing is, for me, it's indicative of this overarching sort of growth treadmill that the industry is on. And really, it's just, you know, it's almost kind of the industry is a shark, and if it stops, it dies. And yeah, I can get that to some extent. But because everyone is largely listed but beholden shareholders, there is this just real push to try and do everything and make money in whatever way possible. If you think about, you know, the fact that all these companies have become listed entities, people are coming in from, you know, banking and all these kind of, I suppose, let's face it, traditionally respectable sectors compared to, you know, gambling, which is always going to piss off, you know, a significant chunk of the population. On one level, it's becoming more legitimized and clean and white collar. On the other level, some of these tactics and this kind of relentless pursuit for growth are ultimately to the detriment of the industry.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they're being allowed, I may have just been naive, but, you know, you're being allowed to, you know, stuff in certain markets. Now, some people say what's happening is, you know, prediction sweepstakes, this new, I say new, but at least new in the US, iCasino based on effectively sports results. You know, oh, it's innovation. No, it's not. It's just trying to get around the regulations to squeeze more money out where you're not really allowed to, and then hoping that you can do it for long enough that, you know, with loads of legal cases.
Yeah. I mean, cash out is innovation. In play is innovation.
Yeah.
It's not exactly. It's not circumventing legislation. Yeah. It's a new element to an existing product that enhances that experience. That's what innovation is to me.
Yeah, and they wonder why the industry is a bad name. Like, as I've said before, which is kind of isolating a few listeners and probably most of my subscribers and therefore business, a lot of the gambling industry brings on itself, and there should be consequences for what it is. And as much as I think a lot of regulators don't do as good a job as they should, and governments, yep, some of the fines they give, 100% for it. Like, if you are making those basic errors and being greedy and not doing the checks you meant to and all of that, mm-hmm, that's fine. And if you're trying to get around legislation and it doesn't work out for you, you should have consequences rather than be like, yep, oh, well, it was a bit of a failed experiment, never mind, we'll go back to how it was before.
No, I can't disagree with that. I mean, I think, yeah, it's a funny old time for the industry, because I think the new world order is going to be one of higher taxes and tougher regulation. Like, we can see it happening around the world. Wow. You know, we're going to talk about Argentina, which we promised to talk about last week, and then true to form, we'll rush through it at the end. Like, they're raising taxes. You know, we've got the budget next week. UK is going to raise taxes. Like, Netherlands, I mean, we talk about the Netherlands too much. But look what's happening there. It's a higher taxed, higher controlled market now.
Okay.
Argentina. And that's what we're living in, let's be honest. Yeah. That is what, and that's what the next phase of the gambling industry is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's happening is, partially as a result of that, yes, is the rise of grey and black competition that's very visible now, that's, you know, very open. But I see jobs, you know, advertised kind of offshore experience.
100%. Okay, so let's look at this then. Okay. Argentina, let's talk about it. So you have provincial regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so some provinces have one operator, maybe two, like they're very small. You know, you've got the city of Buenos Aires and the autonomous region of Buenos Aires, which are different, and they have a reasonable amount of operators, okay? On our numbers, we have Bet365 as the biggest operator, Betson, then Bplay. Okay, so let's say you are a Bet365, which we will take. Well, let's say Betson, because, you know, they're listed, and you can say that, but we can talk about Bet365, whichever. They are, okay, let's have a look. So in Buenos Aires, you have Bet365 in the city. No, sorry, in the autonomous region. In the city of Buenos Aires, I mean, actually, you have 84 operators. But let's say Cordoba, they're not in Corrientes. So let's say you are an operator, and you are operating with a license in the city of Buenos Aires. You are also operating with a license in Entre Rios, and there's probably some others if I really went there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you have a one like San Luis, which is probably pronounced wrong. Okay. You don't have a license. Now, I'd imagine that these, and I don't know, I'd imagine these companies are operating in the states where they've chosen to get a license because they think it's worthwhile and they're big enough and the regulations good enough. And in the other states, they're just operating .com. Do you think that is right?
But it's on to Canada, isn't it?
Stop needling me. We can discuss why that's not the case. Okay, no, actually, in that respect, it is. Like, mm-hmm. But you could argue in Canada. Okay, fine. Let's go with the example. We know they're the leader in sports in H2. Know they're the leader in sports. If you subscribe to our data, so would you. They're the market leader, but the leader in sports in Ontario. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure they would argue, or one could argue, not putting words in their mouth, that the reason they operate in other ones without a license is that a license is not available for them in other provinces. But, and again, you could argue whether they should or shouldn't. However, okay. On Argentina, a license is available. You're just choosing not to get one. And therefore, should you actually have some solidarity as well between provinces to say, if you accept people from any other province without a license, then you're not getting one here. Now, I imagine that means that most people go offshore and it would make licensing even harder and more of a grey market. Mm-hmm. You know, if people are complaining about black market or grey market, you know, whatever you want to call it, but then doing it themselves anyway, how can, and I'm not saying they are, but how can a company such as let's call it a fictitious one, if you had a license in, you know, Buenos Aires, and you were like, well, it's unfair because we're competing against grey market operators, but then you're a grey market operator in the next province where there is a one licensed operator, how can you even justify that? Like, that's just completely hypocritical, yeah?
So this is where the term grey, I think, becomes very interesting. Because I think, if we're honest, as an industry, I'm not naming companies, and I'm not creating a weird amalgamation of a company name, because that's just creating a world of hurt. There is the white regulated markets, then there is the black markets, which I think, you know, is easy enough to define as, this is a market with some form of regulation either facilitating or prohibiting gambling, and you have decided not to get a license or to ignore the prohibition. Okay. Let's call that a black market. And then a grey market, in theory, it's almost like Schrodinger's regulation. There is no regulation specifically for or against online gambling, and therefore licensing is impossible.
Okay.
That's what a grey market should be.
Okay. So Argentina is not a grey market. No. Canada is not a grey market.
Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. That's my point. If we look at the definition of grey, white, black, I think the definition of grey is stretched, like almost to breaking point.
Like, there is hardly any grey market out there. People keep talking about grey markets, it makes them feel better. It's not. 99% of what people talk about doing grey market is just illegal. It's black. So most grey operations are not grey. As you say, it's stretched.
Yeah.
It's black. In Argentina, in almost every province, I'd have to check if it's every, but almost every province, there is a license available. Whether it's one person's got a license, or they only allow a couple of licenses, or you can have loads, such as in Buenos Aires. There are licenses available in almost every province. So operating in those because you choose not to, or because you're not one of the people chosen to get a license. Like, is Finland grey?
I would not call Finland a grey market, no. Based on the definition of what constitutes a grey market, in my head, I could be wrong. Please tell me if I am, or if you have an alternative viewpoint. But I would argue that Finland has a system that expressly says what is legal and what is not. Now, one of the things to bring in here is the European Union. Now, I know that they have said gambling is a state right issue. I know that certain jurisdictions take a slightly different view, but I would also argue, in that jurisdiction's defence, I don't think there has been a clear and unambiguous precedent-setting ruling on what is permitted and what is not.
I mean, I think you kind of use a multi-license to operate across Europe is such a weak argument now that it's been largely 99% of people, 90% of people would agree that that doesn't work. It's only the last few.
I fully agree with that. However, do think with a close reading there is some ambiguity there. Whether or not I agree with that is, you know, it's a different matter. I mean, personally, to be honest, I don't. However,
is this one of those where you just keep asking enough lawyers until you get one that says what you want to hear?
I don't think I've ever done that.
No, not you, but like, if you're an operator and you say, am I allowed to operate in this market with my multi-license? And 9 out of 10, first nine say no, and the tenth one goes, you could read it like that, and that could potentially allow, and you're like, okay, I've got legal opinion that says it's okay.
Well, this is why I think the Bill 55 case is so interesting, because that essentially becomes a precedent setter. Because, yeah, in theory, if Malta can't protect its licensees from enforcement activity, but that activity is legal in Malta and one of the European markets, then it stands to reason that those local laws apply. I mean, I would say I do feel that Malta has one eye in this. Like, I think it was very much operators there. I think there's definitely more technology and supply side businesses. So there is a push to diversify.
We always end up talking about black market.
I agree
with you. Grey is just...
Yeah, I think the definition of grey is being increasingly stretched, you know. And I mean, no judgment on either side, unless people are doing something really shady. But I do feel...
Why do you say no judgment on either side? Like, I mean, can't be critical of, like, the black market and then say no judgment.
I'm not being critical.
I believe the black market is a bad thing and, you know, we should be promoting the regulated, more responsible, you know, white market.
Well, this is what I'm saying with something really shady. I think black market activity is really shady.
Which is 95% of all non-white market activity, effectively.
I mean, that's bold to put that percentage on it.
Well, we just said the amount of grey is now very small. There are very, very few markets in the world where there's no legislation about...
I mean, this is the issue. It comes back to the fact that grey is not really defined, or there isn't an accepted definition of what constitutes...
Well, I thought you gave a very, very good one. It's just that most people choose not to ignore that, because then
what they're doing
is no longer, you know, they would probably, most, again, I think people who target Argentina would say, you know, it's grey market activity. I always get it described to me as grey market activity, and I just don't think it is. Even though someone who is licensed in, you know, a lot of the operators there who are operating from offshore...
Yeah.
You know, are licensed in other locally licensed markets, so not like Curaçao, Malta, but locally licensed, and probably have some pretty high levels of consumer protection and everything you need. They're just choosing not to get licensed, and maybe the licensing conditions are onerous, etc. But, you know, you can't have these same operators complain about in Sweden or the Netherlands, you know, we're having to compete, you know, or Germany. They have to do more to combat black market operators when you're operating without a license in other markets where you could get a license, or where they say you can't get a license because we don't think it's legal. I just think that's disingenuous, and, you know, you just want cake and eat it.
There was definitely a bit of cakeism about this. But look, we've rambled on for over 30 minutes. So quick fire in Argentina. Let's get some data. How big's that market? How does it break down? What's the offshore percentage?
Well, I thought you were going to ask me something easy like the currency.
Argentine peso. Yeah. What's the national dish?
I mean, when I went there, it was some good steak and a bit of Malbec. I'm pretty sure that's not their actual national dish, though. I would say their
asado.
National dish. Okay.
Argentine barbecue. So probably a bit of steak, a bit of Malbec.
Yeah. Right, so the size of the market, 2025, 7 trillion peso for the online betting game. Should we do it in euros where people will actually understand? So I have the online betting game market, 2.4 billion euros, of which 40% is onshore, a billion, and one and a half, or just under a billion, and 1.43 is offshore. So a big offshore market. Potentially grey, potentially black, depending on your definition.
And how does that break down between land-based and online?
So that is just online. Land-based is another 2.2 billion. So Argentina has a big, let me just check my thing, big gaming machine market. How do you think it used to, was it Argentina or Mexico? I think it could have been Argentina. Most gaming machines in the world, maybe outside the US, but yeah,
really?
big gaming machine.
Because I think Finland was most gaming machines per member of the population. I think that was right.
No, I've looked it up, but it's well, okay, Japan, but they're pachinko.
Well, I mean, then now it gets into how you define gaming machines.
Yes.
Because, yeah, we're not talking about Virtua Cop.
No. And Pachinko, which does get around something because you can change. I mean, that's just going down a whole other thing.
Yeah, patchy slots. Do you remember Virtua Cop?
Is that like RoboCop?
No, you had the big plastic kind of guns and then you shoot at the screen as you...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't see anything in a quick look which backs up my view on Argentina having the most machines. So, yeah, let's just... Let's just say that. That's a fact to be confirmed or not.
Please pass that.
Market leader, we have Bet365 in the onshore market, Betson, Bplay. But as I said, it is fragmented across the different provinces, also lottery-led. So one thing that could be interesting, if you were, I think I've mentioned this on here before, but if you were a smaller province in Argentina, if you were to align your legislation, don't have to do tax rate, but align your legislation or the technical requirements, etc., with one of the bigger provinces, then I think there are operators there who would happily get licensed, even at a different tax rate in that province. I think it's when you're having to do all the technical requirements, etc., for something, that's what puts a lot of people off. So in that respect, although each province has the right to do whatever licensing they want, being pragmatic, assuming these licensing requirements are, you know, the city of Buenos Aires hasn't got a free-for, there's decent licensing. If you just kind of copied those, a bit like the rumour is Alberta's kind of doing with Ontario.
And regulatory harmonisation.
Yes. Well,
that sounds nice.
That sounds nice. Then, you know, if you want people to get a licence, make it easier for them, just, you know, with the right constraints still in place for player protection, etc. So I think sometimes they don't necessarily help themselves.
No, I think that I think that's fair to say. And what, are you giving us more data or are we going to...
Give you more data. So that Argentinians use on licensed site... I mean, unsurprisingly, better odds and bonuses are most of them. But higher than any other, this is from our H2's proprietary player surveys, higher than any other country was crypto, 9%, which isn't entirely surprising given the high levels of inflation in the market in recent years.
Yes.
And therefore higher crypto adoption.
Makes sense.
Percent of deposits and withdrawals, 29% online wallets, 28% bank transfers, 22% debit cards, and then 12% crypto. Again, much higher than any other country in Latin America.
On that note, what are we going to talk about next week?
Probably prediction markets, black markets, Netherlands. Or we could try and move away and talk about something new.
Let's commit now to not mentioning the black market, the Netherlands.
Why would we commit to doing something that you're going to fail?
I'm going to give it a good try.
Random country generator.
Company generator this week. We did a country this week. Yeah, we're going to alternate.
Well, the country, FYI, came up with Rwanda, but that's fine. That's my own website. While I'm padding, what is the national dish of Rwanda?
I don't know, actually.
Rwandan goat brochettes, which is skewers.
Yeah, like brochette, French.
Yes. It is indeed.
Chet de chèvre.
Right. Company. Okay. Right. So, can I please...
Speak into the mic.
Can I please have a random company generator? Can I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Operator or supplier?
Operator.
Right. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 11. 1 to 11, please.
7.
1 to 6. Good. Pretty niche, I'm not gonna lie. Right. Monarch Casino.
Oh no, that's an interesting one. Yes, let's talk about them.
Okay, go on. Tell me about Monarch Casino.
A smaller regional operator doing quite well. A lot of cash in the bank.
Okay, two casinos: Atlantis Casino Resort Spa in Nevada and Monarch Casino Resort Spa in Colorado.
Yeah. So next week we will talk about Monarch Casino and whatever else comes up, but hopefully not predictions markets, the Netherlands, or the black market.
How many slot machines do you reckon they have across their two properties?
I don't know.
Great guess. 2,500.
2,500.
Slots, nice. A lot of, like, people play slots a lot, don't they?
They do, yes.
I don't really get it.
No?
Well, I understand the thing, but, like, I just don't get the excitement of it.
I can see it, Like when you see some of these game series and the fact that they've got all these little nuances and tweaks, I don't know. I always find that slot producers, developers are some of the most passionate people in the industry. They really love what they do. And I get kind of caught up in that talking to them.
We need to end this because you're going to have a lot of editing today. Because I've said probably quite a few things I shouldn't, and it's also gone on for a long time, given how little we've probably covered. So that'll be fun for you.
Great. And we'll get this out in about a month's time then. So Okay. Everyone, thank you very much for listening to the latest episode of Right to the Source. Next week, we will be back to talk about Monarch Casino. So until then, have a great week. See you in the next one.